I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the occasion, would you all please rise?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chambers minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Ms. Schofield, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship, with the exception of Councillor Butler, who had business commitments.
Thank you. There are a few announcements which I'll deal with right now. There is no addendum. The Association of Municipal Managers, Clerks, and Treasurers of Ontario recognizes the importance of celebrating the achievements of its members. And to that end, AMCTO annually recognizes its members in 10-year increments for longstanding commitment to the association and to the municipal profession. This year, a certificate recognizing the service of Sue Ward has been provided to her by AMCTO, and I'd like to congratulate Sue for 10 years of service with that organization and many more years of service that she's had with the town of Fort Erie. So she's not here this evening, but I understand that she's been provided a certificate by the Association of Municipal Managers, Clerks, and Treasurers, and we congratulate Sue and thank her for her service. There are a few events that took place last weekend, and I just wanted to reiterate them, although I'd announced them last week. One was the first annual 5K fun run and walk held by the firefighters at Central Station. It was not the best weather, but it was cool, and runners like cool weather. I see one of the participants here. And it was a very well organized event for the first time, very well attended. And I think the highlight of the day was Sparky being there. But then the second highlight was the fact that one of the firefighters actually ran in his bunker gear with a Scott pack and an oxygen mask on the full 5K. A young guy in fantastic shape, and I think that his time was slightly less than 30 minutes. I think it was just under 30 minutes, which for anybody that runs 5K without fire gear will appreciate that that's a pretty astounding accomplishment. So he's to be congratulated, as are the Central Station firefighters and all the individuals who helped organize that event. As I said, very well attended. The money that's raised is going to be utilized for some park improvements at the Sugar Bowl, and I'm advised that the firefighters have some other events that they're going to bring forward next year, and they seem to be quite keen on working to clear the ice in the pond so that kids can skate on it in the winter. So a great group of guys and women, and a wonderful event. The second noteworthy thing on the same day, shortly thereafter, was the 25th anniversary of Casa El Norte. Had a very good attendance. They had some of the original people who helped set up Casa El Norte that were in attendance. A number of individuals who've gone through the house over the years from really all parts of the world, and a true tribute to Fort Erie and the people in Fort Erie, and somewhat timely event in view of the situation in the Middle East and the refugees who are seeking asylum from Syria and Iraq and some of the other countries in that area. And hopefully this will be what the people at Casa El Norte have done, will be an example for all of us going forward. Coming up on Wednesday from 1 till 7, I believe, at the Stevens Old Memorial Hall, the Birdie Historical Society has the quilts, the stories they will tell. So individuals are welcome to attend that event. On Thursday, September the 17th, the Chamber of Commerce is holding its trade show at West End Arena, I believe. Yes, and there's also to be a Habitat, the Leisureplex?
Yeah.
Sorry. And there's to be a Habitat for Humanity presentation around 3:30. And then I also wanted to mention that the firefighters are having an event on Saturday, September the 19th, and that's to celebrate Sparky's birthday. It's from 10 to 1 p.m. It's at the Leisureplex parking lot. It's a great opportunity for children to take a look at fire equipment, use the hose, eat hot dogs, get rides on stuff, and really meet some of the firefighters in our community. Also good for the public in general, for anyone who's interested in the things that our firefighters do. And Sparky, of course, is their mascot. Thank you. And then finally, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that on Saturday, September the 26th, from noon to 11 p.m. on Jarvis Street, the first Taste of Fort Erie should be a fantastic event. I know that the BIA has worked very hard. I know that they've got some great support. The restaurants down there are anxious to exhibit to the public what they have to offer. And so I would encourage everyone to attend if you can. And Councilor McDermott, I understand that you will be there. You're the council, the ward representative and the member on the BIA. So we hope that there'll be good weather. And I think that the weather forecast long-term is for good weather. So good fortune. That's it for the announcements for this evening. And that takes us to disclosures of pecuniary interest. Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I'd like to declare a pecuniary interest under presentations and delegations. Richard Halinda is here on behalf of Bob Cosby, Black Creek Building, and the company that I work for, Real Electric, is conducting business with Black Creek Building. And I should note, too, that under the consent agendas, item 3D, the Environmental Advisory Committee minutes, the same property was discussed, and there was I declared a conflict during that site meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. So when we get to the minutes of the Environmental Advisory Committee, Councillor Lubitz, we will separate that portion that deals with the property. Is this the property on Barker? And I wish to declare a conflict. Is there anyone else? I wish to declare a conflict with respect to Bylaw 113, 2015, which relates to physician recruitment, since I have a young daughter who's a physician, and although there's no indication that she's interested in the program, I think I will declare a pecuniary interest just in case. There is notice of a public meeting to take place on October the 5th. It's a statutory public meeting with respect to the proposed Stevensville Core Area Community Improvement Plan. Yep, that will be at 6 o'clock at the in the Town Hall Council Chambers. Takes us to the Regional Council Report. Good evening, Councillor Nunziata.
Good evening. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Greetings to staff and the rest of Council and certainly everyone in the gallery. So coming out of the summer months, not a lot to report with respect to some really meaty, weighty issues. But we have been working with a lot of subcommittees, and there are some impacts to the town of Fort Erie with respect to those subcommittees. So I thought I'd highlight some of them and pass some of those concerns on to staff and certainly council. And hopefully there's an opportunity to engage in that conversation. So just like we went through the review with Places to Grow, Greenbelt, and Escarpment Plan, there are other policy documents up for review. Every 5 years, policy documents come up for review, and those specific ones, the Municipal Act and the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act and the City of Toronto Act, not really has anything to do with the Town of Fort Erie. But those two primary acts, Municipal Act, Municipal Conflict of Interest Act, the province is taking comments, and they will be accepting those comments up until October. This is a great opportunity to refine and tighten some of the policy and some of the legislation as we go forward. So if there was ever an opportunity to formulate policy on a go-forward basis, this would be that opportunity. I will bring your attention specifically to the PILs. And for those in the audience that don't understand acronyms, I didn't even know this, PILs, payment in lieu of taxes. Now, at the regional level, we've directed staff to review the PILs to ensure that the region is receiving the appropriate level of revenue. And PILs are those properties that are exempt, government-owned, utility, and right-of-way properties. And we always like to think as a municipality we're getting our fair share of those tax revenues. So there is an opportunity to make sure that we are, in fact, getting our fair share of those properties, and that revenue is coming back to the municipality. So there's an opportunity to comment on that. Specifically with regional policies, currently, and this again has an impact on the residents, I am a part of a long-term care facility review panel. Basically, it's an alternative service review committee, and specifically, they impact three long-term care homes in the region, Lynn Haven and St. Catharines, Upper Canada Lodge and Niagara Lake, and specifically right here, Gilmore Lodge. And we'll be going through the process of examining what we're going to do as a region to fund these in a sustainable way, make improvements where we have to. Certainly, we're identifying some of the capital works with some of these older buildings, and hopefully on a go-forward basis, we can have a model in place that will provide better and more efficient services. So we're undergoing that process right now. There were some committee members named, specifically Fort Erie. I thought I'd bring up specifically Yvonne Hopkins. Congratulations, Yvonne Hopkins. She is now part of the Smarter Niagara Steering Committee. So it's always nice to have a Fort Erie flair on some of these committees, and congratulations go out to Yvonne Hopkins. If there's any questions or comments specific with a regional flair, I'll be more than happy to answer them. And if I can't answer them here, I'll endeavor to get back to you as quickly as I can.
Thank you, Councillor Nunziata. Any questions by members of council, Councillor Nutt?
Thank you, Your Worship, through you to Councillor Nunziata. Last weekend, council and committee meeting, we heard that we're having some difficulty with Ramsar, getting answers on the Ramsar document. And I was wondering, since you sit on that committee, if you could meet with the planning staff just to touch base and find out where the roadblock is or assist them in getting their answers. It was a recommendation that I have brought forward last week, but wanted to make you aware of it. Also,
excuse me, that's with respect to the Conservation Authority, which you are a member of.
Well, I'll clarify. Specifically, the Ramsar Committee isn't really affiliated with the the Peninsula Conservation Authority, but there are two members of our team that have taken on that task to see about securing that designation for the Niagara River.
Just for clarification, what our staff is waiting for is a response from the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority with respect to some concerns.
Correct.
And we did have this, we had a very robust discussion on this very topic, and I actually love this designation because but anytime you pair the term wetland and designation, all of a sudden the backs of the hairs on the backs of everyone's head starts to stand up. So until we are fully satisfied that this isn't a designation that would deter or impact any kind of development along the Niagara Parkway, and it is for cachet and status more so than anything else, those are the answers that we want. Those are the questions we want answered. At a later date, we wouldn't like to see this fantastic designation come to the Niagara Parkway, the Niagara River, only to be used as a tool for an objection to a responsible development that comes later on. So we want to make sure that we have those conversations and we get all those answers before we go ahead and endorse the Ramsar designation. And we did pass a resolution at regional council. As a region, we operate in a deference model that we want to hear from our partners, and we'll wait for the town of Fort Erie, and we'll wait for the town of Niagara on the lake to make their comments and certainly give their endorsement before the region give their endorsement.
So we'll still be looking for some comment from the Conservation Authority with respect to the regulatory nature of this. It's supposed to be non-regulatory, but I think you've hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, and we have that meeting Wednesday at the Conservation Authority of Falls Falls, and I'm sure it'll be on the agenda, and we'll make sure we get the staff and council as a whole those answers to what impact Ramsar designation would actually have.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Yes, my last question for you, Councillor Nunziata. You were just talking about Gilmore Lodge as being one of the affected. Would this be the time to bring forward the need for expanded beds at Gilmore Lodge is regards to that planning?
Well, it's it's a really interesting committee to sit on. And while we're going through this process, we've taken tours of Lynn Haven and we've taken tours of Upper Canada Lodge. And basically, Upper Canada Lodge and Gilmore Lodge are identical buildings. They were built by the same contractor. They have the exact same layout. But part of those tours really highlighted the need to update this facility to meet the demands of an aging population now. So if you can imagine that these buildings were built in the 80s, where most of our seniors were still mobile, and they could still operate in that kind of setting. But what we're seeing now is not an ambulatory, clientele. So we're looking to see what we can do to either upgrade those facilities, amalgamate those services, increase the dedicated services for the clientele that we're serving in 2015. And when once we go through the terms of reference and we actually establish what the mandate of this committee is, I'll make sure I report back to council specifically how it's going to affect Gilmore Lodge and the rest of our regional care facilities.
Councilor,
thank you. No further questions.
Just on that topic before we float away, one of the concerns would be that this is an area that the region does very well at in terms of senior care. And I know that part of the discussion will involve who should be delivering that service. And certainly, as I said, this is something that most people would agree the region does very well, and we'd hate to see a diminution in service because of some other model that might be adopted.
Yeah, and to the mayor's point, that's a great point. And ultimately, we're going to see what model delivers the best services for our residents that utilize those facilities in Niagara. And as we go through the process, we'll be releasing more data and more information.
Thank you. Are there any other Councilor Fisuro?
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Through you to Councilor Nunziata. Speaking to that long-term strategic review, the meetings of your committee are closed, I believe, to members of the public. Is there a public engagement process contemplated at some point during this review?
Well, thank you for the question. As we go through the process, we'll establish those terms of reference as far as the partners that we will be engaging. Ultimately, these meetings aren't open to the public right now. And that's so we as a committee could establish the terms of reference on a go-forward basis. Once those terms of reference are established, I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity to comment. I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity to provide feedback, and I welcome that feedback on a go-forward basis. But right now, those high-level meetings are not privy to public consumption, but hopefully on a go-forward basis they will be.
Councilor Fisuro?
Yeah, and I understand the rationale. But further to that, I'm hoping that when we get to that point in the game that those consultation meetings will actually happen here in Fort Erie and not at regional headquarters, given that Gilmore Lodge is one of the affected facilities. Thank you, Mayor Redekop.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Thank you very much, Councillor Nunziata. That takes us to presentations and delegations, and I don't know if Ann Radicich is present. I know that George Radicich is, and I presume that you are here as their legal counsel, and perhaps you're a board member? Yes, well, welcome, Mr. Radicich. Nice to see you again. Well, I find that most wives are always helpful in telling their husbands what to say.
Again, thank you very much for allowing me to make this presentation on behalf of the Alzheimer's Society. I'd like to thank the members of council, town staff, and of course the public. The Alzheimer's Society in Niagara has been participating in the annual coffee break campaign for almost 20 years. This will be the 20th year. And our particular chapter of that society, in fact, originated the coffee break. Now, this has evolved into the longest standing national annual fundraising event across Canada. Thousands of coffee breaks are held annually, and since launching, we have raised $18.5 million across the country. Now, National Coffee Break Day is officially Thursday, September the 17th, with more than 10,000 separate coffee break locations expected to take place across the country. In the Niagara region, our campaign will kick off on that day with the raising of the Alzheimer's flag and a barbecue lunch at Brock University. This year's honorary chair is Mr. Brian Hutchings, the VP of Finance and Administration at Brock. And the Niagara Marine Industry Charitable Council has always participated locally and will be helping to jumpstart the campaign with their usual generous annual contribution. Why is the campaign so important? Well, dementia is a degenerative and progressive disease affecting 747,000 Canadians at this point. While recent trials of some drugs have shown promise with respect to halting and delaying the onset of this progressive disease, here. Within the next 20 years, dementia is estimated to affect 1.4 million of our fellow Canadians, and that doesn't include all the family members and other individuals who are involved in their care. Here in Niagara, there are currently over 8,800 people experiencing this progressive dementia, and their number continues to grow. Statistics Canada shows that 8.1 million Canadians are caregivers, and of those 6.1 million, they are in the current workforce. So there's obviously an overlap between their employment responsibilities and the care of family members. Most of the caregivers are aged 45 to 64, and this group also comprises the most experienced workers. A conference board report in 2012 estimates the cost to employers in lost productivity because of these dual responsibilities in the range of $1.2 billion a year. Dementia is obviously a health condition with important social implications that impact our communities. These can include the loss of independence, stigmatization, discrimination, social isolation, and that includes not only the person who's afflicted, but of course the people that are part of their lives and the caregivers. Our society's mission is to advocate for people with dementia and their care partners living in the Niagara region, and to provide access to a diverse range of appropriate resources and supports throughout their difficult journey. We hope to assist them and try to at least give them some independence in their homes and the communities as long as possible. Now, coffee breaks provide an opportunity to invite your coworkers, clients, customers, friends, family, or neighbors to come together to enjoy a cup of coffee or other preferred beverage at a break time or another social get-together in exchange for making a donation to support the work of the Alzheimer's Society. Hosting a coffee break is actually a lot of fun. It's easy to organize. We do our own Harvey's restaurants that we own in Niagara Falls, and it is a nice social opportunity. Our society supplies a free kit, while our hosts supply the people in place. Each kit includes coffee for that first pot, a donation box, and promotional signage and literature. While many of the breaks will be held on that national day, the 17th, you can choose a date that is more convenient to you, since the Niagara campaign runs from this month all the way through December. All of the funds raised stay here in Niagara to support our local programs and services. Now, these events can be held in homes, workplaces, community centers, schools, etc., churches, and, of course, city halls, just about anywhere a social gathering can take place. Now, some of the most successful events have involved doing something a little different, whether it's an open house, barbecue, raffle, dress-down days, in combination with any other activities at the place. And you can also, of course, round off your bill at a retail location, maybe even property taxes. But each break truly makes a difference in the lives of those in the community dealing with the effects of dementia. Organizing or taking part in the coffee break event has the potential to raise awareness, obviously, and to encourage discussion about this disease and dementia as well. Reducing the stigma and trying to clear up a lot of the misinformation is an important step in improving the quality of life for persons living with dementia and prolonging their independence and sense of well-being. You can also go one step further and become a member of the Dementia Friends of Canada. There is a website, www.dementiafriends.ca. There's a video and other promotional material that's available should you choose to become more engaged. Each year, our society has to raise, out of our budget of $1.9 million, $600,000, and this event goes a long way towards that. Thanks to this council and over 200 other hosts, we've raised over $102,000 for last year's campaign, and this year we'll hope to reach the goal of 105,000. So I encourage each of you to consider hosting your own coffee break, not simply in the venue of the City Hall, but any other locations or any other organizations that you may be involved in. And the motto is to make your coffee count. Anyone can register for a free coffee break kit by calling the Alzheimer's Society of Niagara Region at 905-687-3914 or visiting the website, which is www.alzheimerniagara.ca. I'd like to thank you very much for your attention this evening and your consideration and your obvious desire to make a difference in your community and to provide some hope for everyone for tomorrow. Your Worship, if I could, I'd like to present you with your kit at this time.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Radicich, and I will pass this on to the clerk. And are there any members of council that have any questions? Very much.
Well, good luck and enjoy your cup of joe.
And I will announce so that your wife can have the benefit of it on listening to the broadcast. You did an excellent job. The next delegation then is Mr. Richard Halinda on behalf of Bob Cosby Black Creek Building. Good evening.
Your Worship, members of council, senior staff. Yeah, this is concerning the issuance of a building permit. Particular package here. Although I'm good on the computer, PowerPoint things are not my gig. So,
Councilor. Help with it.
I was advised that our time is limited here, so I'll try to keep my comments short and then have an opportunity for staff to ask questions as well, or council to ask questions as well. So the package consists of a number of pictures, a preservation report, and also the minutes from the EAC meeting that dealt with this particular property. So, just a general overview. What we have here is we're dealing with a property that's an existing lot of record. It's got 120 feet of frontage, 220 feet of depth. It's located on the west side of Barker, south of Highway 3. And if you turn to the first page, actually, I'll have you turn to the second page because this is a higher aerial view. You get more perspective here. So you've got Highway 3 across the top. You've got Barker that heads down in the north-south direction. And then the box that's marked 945, that's the subject property. Okay? And as you can see, that is part of a woodlot that covers most of that that concession lot. What we have here is this property is zoned rural residential. As I say, it fronts on the west side of Barker, and there are existing houses. There's an existing house adjacent to it on the north. There is an unopened road allowance on the south, and then an existing house south of that. And there's an existing house on the east side of Barker across the street. The west of the property backs into the balance of the woodlot that's located in that area. There's town water on the road, as well as hydro, gas, and cable. So what we've got here is we've got an infill situation on a road that provides for the services. So the history of the matter is this, is that a building permit was applied for with the town, and the town asked the EAC to provide some input. At that time, the proposal, and if I could have you turn to page 5, this was the drawing that had been submitted to the town, provided for the construction of a house, which is shown here in the, this would be the northeast corner, and then a septic field in the back. But, I mean, just looking at this drawing, this would mean that most of the trees on this property would have to be removed in order to accommodate that. So, but that was what was presented. And that's what the EAC had to deal with. And in fact, a number of them went out to the property, which they do, and did an inspection. After doing the inspection, their recommendation was not to lift the environmental conservation overlap on this property. That would allow the construction of this house in this location and that septic bed in that location. So what happened was they said no, and attached to this report or presentation, I've got their office memorandum and their minutes from their meeting. And basically, they said that the property contained a diverse high quality of Carolinian forest and also contained quality habitat for wildlife. And so as a result of that, the overlay shouldn't be removed. Now, there's no details or particulars as to how or why they came up with this conclusion, and nor did they provide any comments as to how maybe we could have mitigation of some of the impact if there was development on that site as proposed. So that's the history of it. Since they went there, which was not that long ago, I think the 19th of August, two things have happened which are considerable. One is that the applicant has changed the application and the proposed construction, and I'd have you turn to page 6. That's right behind the original one. When we look at this one, this is much different. So the house, again, is in the same location out near the road, and now the septic field has been moved from the backyard to the front yard, beside and south of the house. Okay, so that's the whole back of the property remains untouched. The second thing that's happened is that the applicant has hired a certified arborist who's prepared a woodlot preservation plan, and that's part of your package as well, and that's on pages 7 through 16. The arborist has done a complete inventory of all the trees that are on this property and has identified those that need to be removed and those that can be preserved based on this revised drawing on page 6. In the arborist report, he's also laid out a method of how to have these trees removed and how to protect the other ones that are to be preserved so that the impact on the surrounding woodlot would be minimal and that the integrity of the woodlot to be maintained. Now, in his report as well, he looked at every single tree and he noted that none of these trees are considered endangered or protected under the species at risk in Ontario list, which is out there for making sure none of those come down. And his recommendation was to have the town lift the EC layer for the purpose of a building permit for this property. So what have we got here? We've got a fragmented woodlot in this area. There's already been two houses located on both sides of it, and we've also got Barker Avenue that would cut through and display some of that woodlot. And the construction is only to take place in that area nearest the road, thereby preserving and maintaining the woodlot at the rear of the property and not affecting the woodlot of the adjoining properties, including the town's unopened road allowance, which when you look at page 12 of the report of the plan, so again, the overlay of the house and the septic field is in the front there, so you can see the trees that are affected by that. To the left, that whole strip there, which is in green, is the unopened road allowance which the town owns. So, and as you can see, that's wooded as well. And none of those trees are being touched, nor are any of the trees at the back of the property, the back half of the property, actually. None of them are being touched as well. The other thing is that anytime you're building, you've got to deal with drainage. And that has been looked at as well. And if I can have you turn back to page 6, this drawing was prepared by the surveyor. And here too, the drainage on this new plan has all the drainage coming out to the road. It will require some swales along the north and south boundaries, which is normal for properties developed here in Fort Erie, out in the non-urban, even some urban areas. And those swales can be built without, again, affecting the trees that are remaining there. So all the, again, drainage is going out to the road so that the rear of the property where the balance of the woodlot is, which forms part of the bigger woodlot west of this property, is not affected. Now, we should also note that the EAC approved a 1.9 acre parcel for development. If I can turn you to page 2 again, which is the high-level overlay. So we saw the smaller box there, mark 945. North of that, there's a larger parcel, and that's the one I'm referring to, of the 1.9 acres, which is part of the same woodlot, okay, bigger parcel, and the EAC did provide for the lifting of the EC overlay on that property. And you can see the closeness of that property to this one, and this high-level photograph also shows how many, in fact, single-family homes are in this area. So it's not just a big forest. It's a forest that's sharing with human habitat as well, because there's quite a few houses there. So what are we submitting to you? We're asking that the environmental conservation overlay on this site be lifted in order for a building permit to be issued. However, what we're suggesting is we're just not asking for a building permit by itself. We're saying that we're prepared to have this building permit conditional upon the applicant adhering to this particular woodlawn preservation plan so that the town can ensure that this does come to be. And in addition to that, we're also prepared to have a performance bond posted to guarantee that these works will be done in this fashion. I've had some discussions with Mr. Brady before coming here tonight, and the number of $15,000 was suggested, and that's, I think, a reasonable amount as well. And so that's the proposal, is to have a building permit issued, the overlay lifted for that purpose, but the building permit itself would be conditional upon the compliance with this woodlawn preservation plan, and that the security of the $15,000 be posted to ensure that that happens. Now, so that's the kind of the overview. I don't know how technical you want to get us to the official plan provisions, but how much time do I have left? I don't.
But yeah, no. So I don't know. I think if councilors have questions, that will give you an opportunity to get into any technical aspects you might wish.
Okay.
Unless there's something.
All right. The only other point.
Please proceed.
Simply is that the NPCA has looked at this. This has been submitted to them, and they've got no objection to this at all. And then that is part of the OP stuff. So. I'll save my other comments because I'm sure they'll work into some of the questions if there are any.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Halinda. Members of the council have any questions?
Thank you, through your worship. To Mr. Halinda, you've obviously researched this out in the parcel that's to the north, the larger parcel. What was the reason given by the EAC for lifting the conditions on that parcel?
Again, I couldn't get a lot of details. I know one thing was that there were a number of ash trees on that property. There are ash trees on this property, and of course, everything we know about ash trees is that probably in the next couple of years, we probably won't have many, right, because the ash borer is unfortunately taking them away.
Well, in the inventory, it's already noted that several of the ash trees are EAB. Oh, to me, it looks like there's just a quick count. There's several that are listed in the inventory on this parcel as well.
Correct. Yeah, it's the same woodlot that we're dealing with.
And I noticed also that in the tree inventory, there's a lot of poor and dead fall trees that should be removed
correct.
As well. So I'm just having trouble trying to understand why they apply it to one and not the other parcel.
I agree.
Not 100% sure then.
Any other councillors? Councillor McDermott.
Yeah, thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
I think it went a long way to mitigate this problem, and I'll be supporting you tonight. It must be, when you have to redo these things, it's a great deal of expense, I would imagine, to your client.
Correct.
So I think what you've done is you've mitigated this in a way that makes it a lot easier for all of us to support. And I appreciate your efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you very much.
Any others? Mr. Halinda, just some observations on the basis of the material that you've provided to us, which we're all thumbing through now and have gone through with you. In terms of the inventory that was report that was provided to you by the arborist, it's broken down into three areas, one of which is the town easement. I presume that's the road allowance?
Yes, he referred to it as easement, but in fact, it's town owned, yes.
We know that your client has no ability or has no right to remove any of those trees, so the fact that they're all going to be preserved, that goes without saying.
Yes, absolutely.
Property. You then have West parcel tree inventory, that's at the back of the property.
Right.
And that identifies about 21 trees that will be preserved, and that's because there's some distance from the construction. The real issue here is the main parcel tree inventory, which you describe as Area C, and that has 60 identified trees, 36 of which will be removed. Two of which, looking at the plot plan that you've provided to us, would suggest that tree number 20, which appears to be partially on the house to be constructed, I can't imagine that's going to be retained. It says to be preserved, but I can't believe that that's accurate. And there's another one that's within the envelope of the septic system, number 30, which I would suspect will be removed as well. One's a red oak, one's a shagbark hickory. I'm not a member of the Environmental Advisory Committee, but I can imagine that they looked at the inventory. Very few ash trees on parcel C, the one where the house and the septic system are going to be removed. And they're the ones, if they're talking about Carolinian, that's exactly what this is. So I can understand what they're saying. I would think that, and I presume this is accurate, this report from your arborist hasn't been submitted to the EAC yet?
No, it has not.
Okay.
No, we just obtained it.
Right. I would be thinking that the appropriate route would be for us to refer this back to the Environmental Advisory Committee with this additional information. Any problem with that?
Well, I guess it's just a timing thing. I mean, when's their next meeting? We've got a contract to build a house, and we've got some commitments on that. I mean, if we're going to...
We have a committee that gives us advice with respect to just these matters.
I appreciate that, But I just don't want to see this thing end up... And next thing you know, we're going to be in wintertime. It'll be too late to build this year, too.
Thank you. Any other counselors? Anything arising out of my questions? Cheryl?
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Thank you, Mr. Halinda, for being here. Under the tree preservation plan, and both of my colleagues touched on it, there are some ash trees noted as EAB and to be preserved. Are they going to be going with injections to try to prolong their life? I'm wondering if a conversation could be had with our arborist. We might not be opposed to those being removed if they're going to infect other trees. I'm just wondering what your arborist's proposal is to preserve the EAB marked.
I didn't specifically talk about that, but my suggestion is going to be that they're just going to be left alone. I don't think that there was going to be any active steps to inject them. I mean, I can tell you personally, I've done some of that work, and those trees died just as much as the other ones. So I think that whole process is a little too late. The horse is already out of the barn.
I would agree. So I think to be preserved on those ones is probably just a misnomer.
Yeah, not to be touched is probably more...
Okay.
Accurate.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Any other counselors? If not, thank you very much, Mr. Halinda.
Thank you for your time.
That takes us then to the consent agenda. And Councillor McDermott, you have a resolution on that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Resolution number one.
I guess before we get to that, we would need to remove... we would need to remove the item in the Environmental Advisory Committee minutes that deals with that's those are the minutes, but I think we can remove the specific item from those minutes. That would be
59-61.
Okay, so it's not clearly defined. It's just the issues relative to 945 Barker Avenue, which appear on page 1 of, I guess 1 and 2 of the minutes. We'll deal with those separately because Councillor conflict. So if you could proceed then to read the Council or the resolution with respect to the consent agenda items with the exception of item 3D as it relates to 945 Barker Avenue. Councillor Lubrich will be able to vote on the other.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, the Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended, with the exception of 3B as it relates to 945 Barker Avenue.
Said D, right? 3D. Say 3D or B?
I'm sorry, 3B.
Thank you. 3D, that's what you said, as it relates to Barker Avenue, 945 Barker Avenue? So are there any questions or comments with respect to the consent agenda items with the exception of 3D 945 Barker Avenue? Madam Clerk, I had a question with respect to the minutes of the September 8th Council and Committee meeting, page 3, where we were dealing with the public meeting relative to the zoning regulations. And item B, which relates to comments made by Josette Poole, that's on page 3 of 14, she indicated that Mr. Kernahan had stated that it was council that had requested staff to bring forth these amendments. Mr. Brady stated they're making the changes because developers have asked for them. I thought it was clear that it was developers had approached staff, but council had requested that this be brought forward. I think the minutes should reflect that unless I missed something. Anyone have a different recollection? So I think that it should be reflective of the fact that it's really the council that had requested this to be brought forward. The next item, which was the next person who arose, Mr. Eggleton, was actually speaking about the Royal Oak subdivision, and he questioned, I think instead of the word that, Mr. Eggleton questioned whether the town has sidewalk regulations. Because in fact, it was pointed out to him that there was a sidewalk provided for in that subdivision. Just wanted to bring those forward. Do you believe you need an amendment for that?
We can treat this as a friendly amendment. We'll make the change.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments with respect to any of the items contained in the consent agenda? If not, I'll call the question. All those in favor of approving? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor McDermott, then I wonder if you could proceed then for us to consider item 3D, the minutes of EAC, with respect to 945 Barker Avenue. By you and seconded by Councillor Nutt. We have some questions or comments with respect to that. Councillor Cyril.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Just some guidance from yourself as far as process. We can't technically change the minutes that we're reviewing, but I would like to put forward a contradictory recommendation. Would that be done under new business? We would receive this merely for information purposes, or does something else have to be done?
Will be done under, well, I think we're simply accepting the minutes that are being provided, and I would think that you would want to bring something up under new business.
Okay. Then I have no comments specific to the minutes.
Madam Clerk, is that...
Yes, that's correct, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Then I'll call the question with respect to item 3D in the EAC minutes relative to 945 Barker Avenue. All those in favor? So what we're doing is we're simply accepting the minutes as they've been presented to us. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. So then that takes us to... Are no responses to inquiries. That takes us to new business inquiries. That would be Councillor Passero. I'll let you open.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. My first is directed probably to infrastructure services or whomever has the best working relationship at the moment with the MTO. And it's concerning residents on in my ward who back onto the QEW. They live on Oaks Drive. And they are facing extreme noise situations with trucks utilizing their air brakes as they come towards that last exit at Central Avenue. And one of the residents pointed out to me that there was signage, albeit along a regional road, town line tunnel road, that says, please avoid use of air brakes residential neighborhood. I'm wondering if we could communicate that request to the MTO and have some of those placed along that section of the QEW corridor.
I think we can, Councillor Passero. I would ask Mr. Walsh to do that. And this gives me a good opportunity to do what I had forgotten to do in announcements, and that was to congratulate Mr. Walsh for being hired as the permanent Director of Infrastructure Services. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you will follow up on
I will. The
communication with the MTO. Thank you. Councillor Passero, back to you.
And lastly, I'd like staff to look at I would call it a trail. It's probably just a footpath that has happened over the years. It connects Champlain over to Birdie Streets across from Peacebridge Public School. It's a well-utilized path of residents in the neighborhood, not only getting to the urgent care center, the hospital. Many of the Rich Products employees utilize it, and many people from the neighborhood on the northern side or the southerly side utilize it to get to Douglas Park. I've been told that we used to maintain it to a certain degree, but that has ceased. And I'm hoping that as part of our supplementary budget considerations, we can look at a more proactive approach, not just in the wintertime for snow removal, but also within our Parks and Rec and Open Space Master Plan to maintain it during the spring, summer, and fall months as well.
Mr. Walsh, can you look into that then?
Again, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Passero, you were going to bring up under new business something relative to the Barker 945 Barker Avenue.
Yes. I would like to, my motion for Council's consideration is that Council directs that the EC overlay be lifted, subject to the conditions as presented tonight by the proponent solicitor, and the entrance into whether it be site plan agreements or some type of bond, as the solicitor had mentioned, subject to the satisfaction of our Director of Community and Development Services.
Before we get, I haven't asked for a seconder yet, so before we get there, Councillor Passero, Mr. Brady, do you have any comments with respect to the delegation by Mr. Halinda? And I don't know if you've had an opportunity to look through the information that he's provided, and also the general drift of the motion that's been put forward by Councillor Passero.
Yes, I can make a few comments if you'd like.
Please.
If Council so desires to make a motion similar to what Councillor Passero has put forth this evening, I might ask that the EC overlay be lifted for a portion of the lands where the house and the septic service is being provided for. That would allow the EC overlay to be maintained on that portion of the lands which are being identified as continuing to have a woodlot on it. The issue of having a performance bond or a letter of credit is something that I had discussed with Mr. Halinda earlier, and I believe that's an appropriate way to ensure that the trees at the back of the property are maintained at least through the construction process. That's usually when the problems occur in terms of losing of trees on the property. Now, council, in my opinion, has two alternatives that they can consider. They have many alternatives, but there's two that come to mind. One is to proceed with the amendment as or the resolution as proposed by Councilor Passero, and the other is to return it back to the Environmental Advisory Committee for consideration. Personally, I suggest that if council wants to proceed with the recommendation, that they do so, but that they advise the Environmental Advisory Committee of the actions that were taken, and so that they can be aware of the fact that at least a portion of the property is being maintained in the EC overlay, if that's what the council chooses.
Thank you. Okay, so with Mr. Brady's comments, is there a seconder for the motion? Okay, are there any questions or comments with respect to the motion? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. So I would like to alter that slightly based on Mr. Brady's comments that the EC overlay only be lifted for the portion of the lands subject to development of the home and the septic bed as per Mr. Brady's directive. And I would like to copy the EAC on our decision, but also with thanks of council. Had it not been for their review, this would have gone unattended, and we would not have been saving half of the property like we are now. So I think this was a situation where the process did work, and I think it's a situation where the developer can move forward, not to the extent they may have wanted to originally, but I think we struck a balance, and I'm comfortable with moving forward on this.
Did you wish to put something in your motion with respect to a performance bond or letter of credit as referenced by Mr. Brady?
Yes, I thought I had that in the original, but if I did not, I would like to include that with the sum and the terms to be determined by our Director of Community and Development Services.
So, Madam Acting Clerk, do you have a resolution? Do you have the motion that you could read back to Council?
I believe so, Your Worship, that the EC overlay be removed over a portion of the lands where the septic service and the house is being provided for, and that a performance bond in the amount of $15,000 be received to ensure the trees are maintained through the construction process, and the EAC be advised accordingly.
The only thing I'm wondering, and I'll defer to Mr. Brady's guidance, is whether or not we need to have specific reference to the tree preservation plan. That currently doesn't exist in my original motion. The performance bond doesn't really reference what it covers.
I would think that tree preservation plan should be referenced. Mr. Brady, do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
Okay, thank you. So you can put that in, please, Ms. Schofield. No, I think unless the counselor wants it read back, why don't we, before we vote, we'll ask you to read it back. In the meantime, we'll go to more questions. Councilor Lubert, you had your hand up.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just for the record, I'd like to state that with all of this here in this new motion that I have a conflict for the same reasons.
Yes, of course.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Yes. So, Madam Clerk, you'll make a note that Councillor Lubert has also declared a conflict with respect to this motion.
Yes, I will.
Are there any other questions or comments by members of Council before we proceed? Okay, Madam Clerk, could you read the motion then?
That the environmental conservation overlay be removed over a portion of the lands where the house and septic service is being provided for in accordance with the terms of the tree preservation plan, and that we receive a performance bond in the amount of $15,000 to ensure the trees are maintained through the construction process and the EAC be advised accordingly.
If there are no further questions or comments, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. And when that notification is given to the Environmental Advisory Committee, Madam Clerk, you should point out as well that Council appreciates and recognizes the work that they've done on behalf of us with respect to these matters. Thank you. Councilor Passero, was that your...
Yeah, I thought we only got three.
Okay. Good. You know, in the old days, some of them used to go around and around and around. Any other new business or inquiries by members of council? If none, then you'll note that we go to motions. You'll note that I've deferred the motion with respect to the consolidation of bylaws. There had been some dialogue between the clerk, Ms. Babanko, and I before she went away to be married and have a honeymoon. And so when she comes back, we'll continue those discussions. It may be that that has been satisfactorily resolved. I have given notice of motion with respect to a request by council to support the Millers Creek Marina project of Warren Dack, brought forward a decade ago, and I haven't got the specific wording yet. I'm waiting for some further information and advice with respect to that. I would expect to have that available for the September the 28th council meeting. Are there any other notices of motion that anyone wishes to bring forward? If there are none, then noting that I had the conflict with respect to bylaw 113, I believe clerk has anticipated that and has made a provision for that. So, Councillor Pizzurro, you have the resolution with respect to first and second reading of the part of the bylaw package.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Redekamp. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the bylaw package containing 114-2015 to deem a certain registered plan of subdivision not to be a registered plan of subdivision. Marjorie Egan and Edward Michael Egan, 3746 Crystal Beach Drive, and 115-2015 to authorize the write-off of municipal taxes in the Town of Fort Erie, roll number 010-049-00200, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. Are there any questions or comments with respect to those two bylaws, 114 and 115? Councillor Pizzurro.
Just a question. I want to thank staff for forwarding myself some information regarding the timelines regarding the proceeds of tax sale. And what we're looking at, and Mr. Jansen, just jump over if I screw it up, is if nobody claims it at the current amount, we're looking at possibility of 1 year before we can start this process again. And even at that point, we're looking at a couple of months past. I'm not 100% comfortable with that, but I'm hoping that we could maybe direct staff to look at A, the graffiti that's on the buildings, B, whether or not we can look at something within our property standards bylaw to get it cleaned up on a more regular basis than it is now. I was talking with Councillor McDermott this morning, and if we're going to be waiting potentially a year for this property to be off the books and out of our hands, we need to be doing a much better job of making it at least fits in with the environment around it as much as it can with every single window and door boarded up. But it really is becoming a problem for people in the neighborhood. It's becoming a hangout for kids, and it's just a general eyesore. So if we're going to be waiting potentially a year, hopefully this tax sale is successful. But if it's not and we're waiting a year, we've got to do a much better job of cleaning this property up.
Councillor Pizzurro, those were all excellent comments. And I think it would be helpful at some point in the not too distant future for the BIA perhaps to have a meeting with staff here and interested councillors to look at perhaps some plan going forward with respect to that whole area. And I'm thinking of Courtright through Jarvis over to Dufferin, because this would not be the only property that needs some work. So let's see what happens with that sale, but I think we should be maybe, and perhaps I'll speak to staff about trying to arrange something in that regard. Anything further, Councillor Pizzurro, on either of these bylaws? If there are no further questions or comments, then Councillor Zanko, you have third and final reading for these two bylaws.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Council Nutt, that bylaw 114-2015, 115-2015 be given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed, that is carried. Now, ordinarily, I would hand the chair to Councillor McDermott, but I'm guessing that you've seconded resolution number 4. Then why don't I do this? Why don't, Councillor Lubritz, I'm going to give the chair to Councillor McDermott for bylaw number 1. Councillor Lubberts, you have someone else second resolution number four. So could be Councillor Passero. Okay. Councillor Nutt, I saw Councillor Passero first. I heard. So because you have third and final reading. Yeah, okay. We'll give it to Councillor, you can ask Councillor Lubberts then to proceed with first and second reading.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Passero that bylaw number 113-2015 to authorize the entry into grant funding agreements for physician recruitment and reimbursement of relocation expenses with Dr. Vadik Joanna Aubin is given first and second reading. Oh, we have discussion.
Councillor McDermott, I just brought to your attention, and I should have mentioned it before, that Mr. Wilson is here in the event councillors have any questions with respect to bylaw number 113. Okay, thank you.
Are there any comments or questions with regards to this presently while Mr. Wilson's here? Huh? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. Some general inquiries as to this whole process with recruitment and these reimbursements of expenses. And I know for years we've been going through physician recruitment process within the town, and we've granted monies to bring physicians into the town. But I'm a little concerned the fact I don't really completely understand exactly where we stand. How many have we recruited? Where are we with the recruitment process as far as other physicians that have been granted funding? I know we did some funding for education and stuff with the physicians. So I'm just wondering, can we get some kind of report to give council an idea of exactly where we're at with physician recruitment and
Mr. Wilson?
Thank you, Councillor McDermott, through you to, Councillor Lubberts. Since I've been doing physician recruitment, we've recruited seven doctors to Fort Erie. We're probably still four to five short to meet the provincial average. We've got a number of our doctors that are getting up and will be retiring shortly, so the process certainly is ongoing. We use different techniques in order to get physicians interested. You mentioned earlier about education. We have in the past paid for education for two of the doctors we've recruited. Most of the time what they appreciate is a turnkey operation, which means they come into the door on Monday and they go to work, everything's set up for them. All the IT's there, the nurses are there, the billing system's there, and that's been very successful to date.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. I think the question that I'm asking is, can we get some kind of report for council so that we can see the recruitment? You mentioned 14. You recruited how many?
Seven
so far. And the expenses that we've allocated and how much we have spent of the taxpayers' money recruiting. And that, because I have absolutely nothing to look at to see where we're at. Not, I'm not opposed to doing any of this here. It's just that, you know, when you're approving expenses, I'd like to see where we're at, so that when the my constituents come forward and ask me, you know, why we do certain things and why we're spending certain monies, that we have some kind of answer that we can bring them. Right now, I have nothing more than a resolution to agree to, which I'm going to support. But can we get some kind of report from you that shows us the recruitment status that we're at right now, how we've fared? Are they still with us? Because I see in here, this is for 3 years, I believe, right? So are the other ones still here with us, or did they move on?
All the physicians we recruited are still here. To date, we've spent about $480,000 on physician recruitment. We average between $60,000 and $70,000 a doc, which across the province is pretty low. Our process is working well.
Yes, thank you very much. My question is, can you provide us that with a report of that?
But if that's council's desire, and I'm directed by council, certainly.
Yes, well, I would like to make that motion that we have a report brought forward to council.
First of all, is there a seconder to Councillor Lubert's motion? Okay, thank you. I have a question, maybe a couple. So we've recruited seven doctors, and had we not recruited those seven doctors, how many people would be without a doctor today?
Well, I mean, all things being equal, and we didn't have any doctors come in without our efforts, probably most docs have fairly significant rosters because they've been here for a long time. I'm going to use an average of about 2,000, so that would put you at about 14,000.
And secondly, how many doctors do we have in town right at this point within, say, the next 2 or 3 years will be retired and looking for new doctors?
Currently, we have 13 general practitioner physicians in the town of Fort Erie. I anticipate we're probably going to lose 1 to 3 over the next 2 years. And if the resolution passes tonight, we'll have two new doctors starting on October 1st, which I'll bring our complement to 15. But with the retirements, we'll be back down to 13. So we'll still be probably 4 to 5 short, considering the fact that the municipality is growing.
And those three doctors that will be going down the line in a little while, how many patients does that represent? About 6,000 more?
No, I would say it would be significantly more than that, because those doctors have been in Fort Erie for a significant amount of time, so their rosters are fairly large.
I guess my final question is, this has been a rather significant effort on your behalf on saving the taxpayers a lot of grief not having doctors. So I guess it would be your recommendation down the line that this continues for some time to come until we really the cycle goes. Because if we're having retirement after retirement, if we don't do this, we're going to really cut our nose off to spite our face. Isn't that correct?
Yes, Councillor McDermott. Regardless of who's doing physician recruitment for the municipality, all you have to do is take a look around at all the other municipalities in the province. Some people will argue that it's the province's job to provide physicians. I would argue to you that they are doing that because they're funding, they open spaces up at the college for the physicians to go into. But once those physicians come out, the province has very few opportunities that are attractive to those physicians, and most of them are in Northern Ontario because that's where they want to get their doctors to. So municipalities like ours, which at one point was identified as an underserviced municipality, now is not considered underserviced, and we need to be out there recruiting on our own. Otherwise, we're going to miss the boat. So regardless of who's doing physician recruitment, and as long as the council remains progressive and considers that in the future we need to maintain, if not increase, our level of physician recruitment, I think we'll be successful. But to answer your question directly, if you quit the process now, you're going to be behind the eight ball really fast.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Councillor Zenko and then Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. I just actually have a comment with regard to your recruitment process. I know doctors are in high demand from my understanding, and out of the seven doctors that you've recruited, my understanding is it's some of the top talent in the physician arena. So just wanted to give you kudos on your recruitment process.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Chair McDermott. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I know that it was in the report we received in committee last week, but could you refresh my memory as to what remains in your recruitment budget?
$47,131, to be exact.
And you'll be bringing?
The treasurer was looking for that number.
Did you get the head nod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you'll be bringing budget ask forward again this year?
Through you, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Passero. Yes, I'll be bringing in a supplementary request for additional funds for physician recruitment. The cost is usually anywhere between $60,000 and $70,000. The $10,000 you may approve tonight is a regular operational budget line item that you've been putting in for the last 12 to 13 years. The other is in a reserve, and it's usually $60,000 to $70,000, depending on how much work we have to do to get the office ready.
Thank you for that. And through you, Mr. Chair, just one final comment. I was the beneficiary of one of the doctors that you recruited here to town when I moved back 11 years ago, and we had an extremely difficult time. We actually had to go to St. Catharines, was the closest one we could find 10, 11, 12 years ago that was accepting patients. And they weren't really accepting patients, they were accepting your application. And then we were told that they would consider whether or not they would have us as patients. So when Dr. Scher came to town, that was a blessing for us. So I thank you for the work that you do. I won't support the motion that's on the floor right now for the report. I believe you've given us the information requested. Anybody who'd like a report can listen to the audio and transcribe themselves some notes, but I think you've given it all to us tonight. I'd rather you focus your energy on recruiting doctors and not writing reports. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Councillor Passero.
Councillor Nutt.
Thank you. Through yourself to Mr. Wilson. How long does it take on average to recruit a physician?
Through you, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Nutt. That's a very good question because it depends a lot on the process that you use. I've never attended any conventions or workshops or any of those types of things. Like, we usually try and recruit physicians through our existing physician complement and through the complement of physicians within the region. That's been very successful to date. We also try to participate with McMaster on a high level because we get a lot of interest from the McMaster students who come down and work with our physicians here, and we encourage that a lot. We've probably got two or three docs as a result of that partnership. So on average, I mean, for example, this year we had two, last year we had none. So it's up and down, but I'd say on average it could be anywhere from 6 to 9 to 11 months.
Thank you. Just a few comments on, but my parents also, their doctor retired and they were the beneficiary of a new physician that was recruited in. So thank you for your efforts. Basically, on the numbers that you gave, if we stopped recruiting and stopped using this strategy, we'd have 1 in 5 people in the town without a doctor in the near future. Considering that progressively the baby boomers are closer and closer to retirement, there's going to be a larger demand for physicians. I have the benefit of working at the college, especially with Niagara College, their nursing program. So I see the out-of-province pressure from Saskatchewan, Alberta. They're sending teams here to recruit, as well as us competing with the province. And I think you're exactly right that if we stop recruiting now, we'll be behind the eight ball in a very short amount of time, and people will be asked the question, how did we get here and why did we get here? So I just want to thank you again for your efforts.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Roberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify the reason why I'm bringing the motion forward, it definitely is not intended to stop the recruitment program. I'm supporting this resolution that's forward tonight, and I support your efforts of recruiting doctors in our area. It's just that listening to some of the questions that were asked of you, and I appreciate the fact that you had all the answers, but my constituents don't call Russ Wilson to ask questions as to where we stand with the with doctor recruitment and the monies that we've spent so far. They call me, and that's why I was asking if we could have that report available to council when we get our phone calls and people are calling us, asking us questions. We could refer to the report and answer the questions instead of asking them to, well, I don't have that answer, so you'll have to go listen to the audio and wait until that part of the meeting comes up so that you can hear the answers that were provided. And the answer that they have may not be on the audio tonight. So that's the reason why I asked for the report, and I hope council will support it.
Are there any more questions? And we'll deal with Councillor Lubert's motion. All in favor? Opposed, if any? Defeated? Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So we'll move on to the resolution moved by Councillor Nutt, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number
133. Excuse me, Chair. Point of order. I can read it.
All right.
No problem. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 113-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Opposed, if any? Carry it.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. May I have the chair back?
Certainly can.
Thank you. And you have the next resolution, I believe, resolution number 6.
Yes, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw 116-2015 to confirm the actions of council at its meetings of September 8, 2015 and September 14, 2015 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? And opposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, next resolution.
Thank you, Mayor Riddicott. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 116-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried. Scheduling of meetings, Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Habitat for Humanity kickoff is this Thursday, September 17th at the Leisureplex from 3:30 to 4:30. Be in attendance there. The Chamber of Commerce trade show is also Thursday, September 17th from 3 p.m. to 7:30. So everybody who's coming out for Habitat can just hang out for the trade show.
Perfect.
And there's also, for those interested, the Conservation Authority Act is being held at the Niagara-on-the-Lake Community Center from 5 to 7:30 p.m., and that's to have input into the review of the act that Regional Councillor Nunziata had stated was up for review. And then I'll be at the DSBN check presentation at Bridgewater Country Club from 5:30 to 6:30 on Friday.
Thank you. And I know Councillor Passero, you're going to be there as well. Any further meetings, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. My favorite meeting of the year when Santa Claus comes to town, Saturday, November 21st. I'm happy to once again co-chair the parade, and I put this message out there to any groups, businesses, local organizations that would like to participate. This past weekend, we sent out the entry forms to everybody who has participated last year, but there's always groups who'd like to come on board. We're happy to have them. I'm a week late this year. I just couldn't bring myself to send out a parade entry form when it was 90 degrees last weekend. So things are going very well. I want to thank my committee members, Karen Audette, Julie Brady, Susan Jovanovich, and Tanya Huggins, and I'm missing Barb Horning. So we look forward to a fantastic parade. Anybody who's interested, Facebook, look us up or give me a shout. Be happy to help you out.
Thank you. Councillor Nutt, I got away from you. You have one more.
Actually, two more, Your Worship. On Saturday, the year is the Golden Nugget check presentation from 12:30 to 1:30. In recognition of the e-bingo funds raised for charity. And on Sunday, the Stevensville End of Summer Fest, which is occurring at 5:30 until 6:30 p.m. And that's hosted by the Senior Advisory Committee.
That's Sunday the 20th. Thank you. I'm going to go back to Councillor Passero.
Just to pick up on Councillor Nutt's reference to the barbecue for the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, it's sold out. There's no tickets available at the door, so just as a point of reference, it is happening, but it is sold out, and we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to clarify, last week I mentioned that there was corporate services meeting this Monday, when in fact it is next Monday. So we have a corporate services meeting on September the 21st.
And what time is that at?
11 a.m.
Anyone else? Then I'm sorry to say, Councillor Nutt, but somehow this resolution got to Councillor Zanko. I had nothing to do with it.
Beauty before eight.
Definitely beauty. I don't know what your ages are, but definitely.
I'm older.
Good. So you're right on both counts. Yeah. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that Council adjourns at 7:27 p.m. to reconvene into regular meeting of Council on Monday, September 28th, 2015 at 6 p.m.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you.